So I confess to you, I considered something rather silly to start the morning. I was going to walk in with all kinds of hats on. Because as you see in the outline, if you pulled that page from your bulletin that you were handed this morning, just more or less a place to write notes and thoughts about today. The title is, of course, about the many hats a mother wears. And I captured it in the words, "Moms, hats off to you." Hats off to moms among us, and even those that aren't with us today. Hats off to dads, too, let's be honest, but our day's a month away, okay? So we'll get there. For the record, I have known a mom for 57 years, and I've been married to another for 33 years. And that means I've had a front row seat to... for a very long time, to some very deserving moms. And I start by saying thank you, Mom, for being amazing and for being willing to keep the third child. When you did so well in one and two, the third is a charm. Might not have always been true, but thank you. And and Debbie, for again, a mother of three, and I don't know if you can quite relate to me being in this pulpit when moms that require that I keep honest are seated right that close to me, and so I'll try not to embellish too much today. But I want to say a word. If you're from a church that maybe even gave a tacit salute to moms along the way. Maybe, they acknowledged it was Mother's Day, might have handed out a chocolate or something special, a carnation, but then they moved on. We don't do that here, and we don't on purpose, because I believe that just as God gave us governments, and he said that, among other things, they're there to provide a place of a culture, presence of peace, so that we can live peaceful, quiet lives. Sometimes they do their job, sometimes they don't. He also gave us the most foundational structure of all, the family. And that began with a husband and a wife, and it results in children in some cases, and some with a single child, some with multiple children, but all along the way, every example of that is God's plan. So we think, and I think personally, it's a very important day to honor moms. So we salute to you, moms. And in fact, I'll start by showing you something. I smiled this week at some very familiar mug shots of moms that I know. I think this will be something you appreciate. The many hats, there are 11 different hats. Same mom, by the way. I don't know if that caught your attention, but it's the same little darling here. She is up at the top. I can't quite see that, so tell me what that says. I think it's detective, isn't it? So that's when you remember your mother saying, "Your sins will find you out." And so will I, right? All right, that's the detective mom. And of course, moms teach all the time. They are in the work of teaching how to pick up toys, how to clean your room, how to make a meal, how to, and it on and on it goes. How many minivans in our gathering here today? Now, I know minivans are starting to give way to SUVs, and you can always tell a mother whose minivan days are behind them because they come in a sports car. Kind of thing, but there's a lot of chauffeuring going on. Amen? Or a mom? Okay, anyway. And then, of course, we come down to the second row, the chef. Mom makes it. And then, you know, let's put this at the top of the list. She's queen mom. She's queen of the castle. And then in the middle, the hard hat, she is the handy mama. She sometimes has the man do it, sometimes he's out of town, at work, whatever, for various reasons. She has to, you know, don the hat and get going. Gardener, isn't that adorable? She's out there growing the crops to feed the family. And then how many remember having a boo-boo? along the way. And how many remember Dad coming quickly and helping, like, stop the bleeding? No hands going up. How many moms do you remember? They stopped the bleeding. That's the nurse mom. And I hate to even include this, but it's a fact of life down at the bottom. And she's still smiling, for the record. She is the maid. Mom is the person that does so much at home in that way. And clear over on the far side, she is just mom. But in the middle, most appropriately, she is Wonder Mom, right? Notice the perfect hair and permanent smiles on these lovelies as they practice their parental craft. And there's no erasing that smile, is there? Despite a rather dire early prediction. Moms, I wish, is Allison still here? Yeah, Allison's right there. Did you know that that's sort of what Ezra and company were thinking when they were real little? But it proved to be true, did it not? Sleeping in, what's that, right? And a mom, Christine, how early this morning did you have breakfast in bed? 4 a.m. No, it was 7:30. That's not bad. That's not bad. And make sure and clean the crumbs from your bed that your kids served you with food this morning. It's true. Children are a game changer, are they not? I mean, it does. A married couple, it really goes like this. A married couple goes from two and cool to a crew. And I think this, well, better than I can put it, I think this video wrap reveals life is never quite the same once kids arrive. All that you saw, as I mentioned, is our story a little bit, at least. Now in their 20s, our kids. I have to tell you, my greatest regret, bar none, is the fact that it didn't last twice as long. I would go back and relive it again in a nanosecond. In fact, can I tell you what happened on the way to the pulpit this morning as I was watching this video? And can I confess to you, I've seen it 5 times, and I just get chills every time. I'm like, that is cool stuff. I was back in the back, and I happened to hear a little one in the nursery having a bit of a fit, pitching a fit, they would say, in Oklahoma. And so I went back there, and our nursery workers, there's like an army of them and a bunch of kids, right? But this particular baby belonged to one of our pastor's wives, pastor and wife, and was brought to church by a mom who was dressed to appreciate the mourning, the Mother's Day mourning, like many of you moms are. And here's really capable workers doing what they can. They had everything in place, tasers, the whole bit, everything to calm the child. And wouldn't you know, this mother was there, and she was backing up slowly with the child looking the other way, thinking she might make a break for it. And the baby started crying again. And it was like this, the look, I wish I could recapture it, because it was a look of, this is a privilege. I got all dressed up to do what I wanted to do and take in a message about moms and be inspired, but I'm really doing what's core to my DNA. And so today I want to salute you moms, and I want to give you a message that will inspire you, hopefully, but at the same time recognize that you're doing day to day what's core to your DNA. If you're like me and you wish you could do it over again, or you wish it lasted longer, and if maybe like us, you're at a place where that day-to-day touch is not as it once was, today I hope to challenge that. I really do. I hope to actually have you leave here and go, wow, maybe I still do have a touch. an important role to play. I had a little help this week. I reached out to some moms and asked the question, you know, what are some hats? And without repeating all the hats that you just saw there, I thought a few of their comments were kind of important. And these are hats, think of these as relational touch points in the life of your son or daughter, regardless of age or stage. That's key. Not just the nursery example I gave you, but wherever you happen to be, okay? Top first one on the list, and I thought it was a good one, was mentor. I feel as a mom, I'm a mentor. That means, as I press the question, what's that? That's a cool word, but what's that mean? I'm a model. I see that I'm a model with a message. And I thought that was kind of a cool way to put that role. A sounding board. If it hasn't happened yet, your kids will call and say, hey, what? And sometimes I watch Debbie. She'll go out the back porch and sit there, and she's talking on her phone, and it's one of her people, one of our people, calling and saying, Mom, got this question. What would you do? How would you? And those kind of cool things. Important role there. Sympathizer. Someone that just hears and listens and says, I get it. I appreciate what you're going through. Might even throw in, I've gone there too. I know what you're dealing with. And moms are mediators, sometimes between siblings, sometimes with roommates in college or in other settings. Maybe your children are actually grown and married and have families of their own. It's not uncommon for one of them to call home and say, hey, Mom, how'd you do this? How do you work this conflict through? And then I love toucher was one. Moms are touchers. They are tender in their touch, and it's reassuring as it's delivered. Here, I love you. And then one that's very personal to me, I had to throw this in. Moms are advocates. This is mine. And I came up with that because, I don't know if you knew this, my mother actually got my job back for me, not once, but twice. It's true. When I was in high school, I got fired. I worked at a gas station, and I should have stuck to pumping gas, but I went inside and was working on a car, and just, I was raising it up in the air on a lift in a garage, and somehow it got sideways and almost fell off the lift. It's an accident that could happen to anybody, really, really, for sure. And I got fired on the spot, and my mother went down and got my job back. That was the first time, and the other time was last week. just kidding, but you know, you get the idea. Mom's my advocate, all right? So question. Here's a question, moms. Okay, you get to answer this, all right? Given the collection, the extensive collection of hats that moms wear, is it ever correct to declare mom's mission accomplished? Good question. I suppose if we gathered up and sat across and had coffee, somewhere along the way we might say, well, in some cases, yes. But we would probably, or at least hope, to come with at least one major way, never. And that's what the rest of my talk this morning is about. Mom's most important hat. Ready to write a word down? Write it for her if you're seated near your mom. Prayer. Mom's hat, the hat of prayer. I don't know if there's somebody that can turn side wing lights on so these people can see, but thanks, Cliff. All right, so my Bible's open to Ephesians 6. Would you turn there this morning? I want to take a familiar passage that has wide application, and I want to kind of draw it in not only to moms, but parents, dads too. And most everything I'm going to say could go either way. When you're finding your way to Ephesians 6, page 817, the Apostle Paul, just a quick word about this, is writing a church with some incredibly practical counsel. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 are deep theological truth, and then chapter 4, 5, and 6, finishing out this short letter, are filled with practical advice. That was his common practice, and it's certainly on display here in Ephesians. And he comes to chapter 5, for example. And by the way, who are these people, these Ephesians? Just think real people with real questions and real issues. And even though it's got a weird name, Ephesians, the people in Ephesus, which was an ancient city, just take a look around this room because it's very much like us. It's a church filled with real people, with real questions, and looking for real answers. So that's what we sort of slip into in chapter 6, the last chapter of this letter. And chapter 5, by the way, as an example of the practicality, he's talking about how families begin. And he, of course, goes to husbands and wives. And he says, this is how you are to be as a husband, and this is how you're supposed to be as a wife. And together, you enjoy this life as one. And it, in many cases, results in more than one. Right? It results in an expanded group or gathering known as a family. So you would expect in chapter 6, he begins right away talking about children. And he's given good advice to children, and then he goes on to parents, and right from there to another very practical theme that we all relate to, the workplace. And he talks about employers and employees. Now, most of his counsel is plain brown wrapping about very real and visible things until, and you notice this right away when you get to verse 10 of chapter 6, where he calls attention to the devil and his devices. Let's read a little bit. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, or in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devices of the devil or the devil's schemes. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, people that we can see, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on, because of this fight, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all of this, take on the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, and pray. And pray. And pray. And pray. And pray. Five times in the next three verses, even if you're not listening carefully, you know he's talking about pray. Look at this. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak words, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. And one last time, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. The devil's schemes. Do you see verse 11? Right after we began this section. You ever wonder what the devil's up to? Paul calls it here the schemes of the devil, or the devil's devices. What are those schemes? Well, Jesus didn't leave us guessing in John 10, verse 10, when he said, the thief or the devil comes to steal, that's one of his devices, to kill, that's one of his schemes, and to destroy. I don't even need to further define those words to have 100% of us say, I don't want any of that in my life and in my family. Correct? Steal, kill, destroy couldn't be more antithetical, more opposite than what a mother's mission is in her family. what a father's mission is. I hear these words that the devil's up to this, and I get a sense from Jesus that he's going to try to do these things with everyone he can, anytime he can. So it automatically makes you follow his counsel by saying, stand strong, be alert, be aware, be watchful. Because this is going to get hard. And certainly the context of chapter 6 suggests that one of the places where the devil will do his darndest is the carnage of children and family, parents, and even the workplace. So to counter the devil's attack, since we know what he's up to, Paul draws attention 5 different times to prayer. So for a couple of minutes, let's just apply 2 or 3 principles. Okay? If you're going to write some things down, this is the first one to write down. Prayer is what a mother is called to, do for her children, especially when the days are evil. Look back at verse 13, and you'll see, not by accident, he uses that to describe the days that have dawned. The day of evil has dawned. If you were here last Sunday, you remember we were talking about God's will for all of us that we be thankful. And we went to 2 Timothy chapter 3, which happens to be near the end of Paul's life and his writing career, if I can put it in those terms. And he wrote Timothy describing the last days, and he described them with these 2 words: they will be terrible times. I believe Paul is describing the same thing here. The terrible times, or the evil days, have dawned. Therefore, it's time to pray. Mom, that is the first and highest calling, the best and most important hat for you to wear. There was a writer, a woman named Stormy O'Mardian. Maybe you remember the name or have heard of her. Her husband was a very important producer in secular music and in Christian music many years ago. And she had a heart for God, and she had a heart for her children, and she cared deeply about this God-given role to pray for her people, referring to her husband and her children. And so she went on to write a book called The Power of a Praying Wife, Power of a Praying Mother, and it morphed into The Power of a Praying Parent. She has some really great counsel, but consider this really just great sentence. An important part of a parent's work is to keep the details of your child's life covered in prayer. Keep the details of your toddler's life covered in prayer. When they go to school and they meet new friends and they have new teachers and new classes and new experiences, all of those details you get to keep covered in prayer. When they go away to college and they meet friends, some that are taking different paths than you would ever want, and you're out of touch because you're a couple of miles away or a couple of states away. In other words, you're wondering what's going on. You're not sure how to manage that. They're getting jobs on campus. They're in dorms. They're having experiences. They're paying parking tickets, stuff like that. My son's with us today. But those are details, are they not? That's real life. And you get to pray for your people. This is the role of prayer. And an important role at that. Because the days of evil demand that you do this, Mom. Secondly, prayer is a mother's unobstructed point of influence in her children's lives for life. It is true that kids move on and they start to go away to school, and then eventually they find their way into a future, maybe a career someplace. And it may take them far away. It might keep them near, but eventually some of them go on and meet a mate, and they get married, and they start a life of their own. But your reach for your people, Mom, knows no bounds as you pray. 19 years ago, I remember it well, Debbie and I sat in a room full of parents in a briefing known as Kindergarten Roundup. Kindergarten Roundup is a tradition in schools where in the spring, before your child enters kindergarten, parents are invited, and we were in a room full of such parents. Happened to be 5 months away from our firstborn going to kindergarten. And I remember the words. In fact, I wrote them down then and returned to them this week to share them with you. We were braced with these words. I know today is sad for some and stretching for others and even scary for a few. I'm sure Debbie didn't see me, but I kind of peeked as she was sitting next to me, and I could see her little lip going, just trying to stay calm and be okay. The woman continued, the reason that this is so is mainly because you've always been there for your child from day one. September marks the beginning of not being in full control of all that influences your child. End quote. At this moment, I suddenly made sense of why I thought it was a strange decoration, but on the table in front of this lectern where this woman spoke, there were boxes of Kleenex. As many of the moms began to kind of quietly sob, and I looked over, and Debbie, I knew, wanted to join with them, it was a big moment. And I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute, that's a pretty incredible gift of encouragement, counselor. Just keep it up. As she told us about all that was soon to happen in our lives. You know what? In one sense, she was right. But in a much bigger sense, she could not have misspoken in a bigger way had she been a politician. The truth is, our daughter and then our son and then another daughter were fully and continue to be fully covered in their mother's prayers and mine, and always will be. That's the vision I want you to catch. More importantly, that's the vision God wants us to have. As your influence continues, Mom, realize lastly, prayer is a mother's most effective means of seeing the salvation of her children. It's her most effective means. Not surprising, when you look back at Ephesians 6, to know that Paul, in describing his ministry of making known this gospel, which is a story of salvation offered freely to sinners who will surrender to Jesus Christ and place their trust in him, Paul places a huge emphasis on prayer. That's why verses 19 and 20 read as they do and why I punctuated them as I did when I read that. Pray. He knows it's a battle. This whole deal is a battle. After all, the devil, just for the record, does not want your children to love Jesus. Everything that I had you stand for earlier and sort of circle symbolically around the Geists and their plans with their child to someday come to Jesus. That's a battle that the devil won't just stand by and watch happen. In fact, it stops being a battle if there's no devil, right? But in order for that to happen, we've got to pray. And moms can lead the pack in that. I want to close with this, enjoying music, kind of Christian music for the first time. It was brand new in the 70s. It's come to be called Christian rock or contemporary Christian music. One of my favorite artists was a man named Matthew Ward, and he was the brother of a brother and two sister singing group called the Second Chapter of Acts. Maybe you remember that name. And I love their sound. He went on to a wonderful career of his own as a solo artist. But it turns out that his music and his ministry were forged by family tragedy. When he was 10 years old, his mother died of a brain tumor, and it wasn't 2 years later that his dad died of leukemia. So as a 12-year-old, he was, for, as he puts it, most practical purposes, orphaned. And he took to his craft of song and writing to describe what he remembers of his mother at that tender age. And he wrote a song called Love. It's not a very descriptive song in one sense, but it is a bullseye in another. And in it, he tells about what he remembers with these words. I'd like to share them. I walked in her room and saw her there. She knelt so quietly, I knew she was in prayer. There was a presence in the room I'd felt before, but I was frightened. So I turned and closed the door. Love was calling out my name. Looking back on that day, it's plain to me, my mama's heart was crying out for my release. It took years for me to be finally free. Her prayers were answered, though she never lived to see. I understand my mother's heart for me, wanting Jesus to make me all that I could be. Now that situation's changed, and I'm on my knees praying for my baby's eyes to someday see that love is calling out her name. Love is calling out her name. Moms, never ever stop wearing the hat of prayer. In the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Can I put it in the terms we've been using this morning? Moms, be a praying mom with all of your might. And realize, everything else that you do, mom, is second place to prayer. To that end, I want to honor the moms today by, whether you're a mom and you're here, or you remember your mom and want to stand in honor of her, I want to invite all of us at this time to stand as we conclude our Mother's Day service. And maybe it'll be comfortable for you, and even if it's not, blame me. Would you reach out and just grab somebody's hand near you, a mom's hand preferably, and or grab somebody else's hand and sort of remember your mom in this moment. As we come to you, God, we thank you for moms, for the reality that they do so much and they give so much with asking so little. And yet topping the list of all of those things is the role and reach that they have as they pray. As we've learned today from your word and been reminded, the days are evil. And I pray moms would leave here with a fresh fire to pray for their people, because these days aren't getting better. And the kids are more and more, even adult kids, more and more vulnerable. And Lord, I pray that moms would leave here ignited with a fresh belief, a conviction in the influence that they have in their children's life, for life, through prayer. And Lord, I do pray for the salvation of every child represented by every mother in this place. And I pray that the moms, hearing your heart today, would leave here more alert, more devoted, and more willing to do whatever it takes on her knees to see their son or daughter trust you. And it's to that end we bless the moms today and pray that the greatest blessing of all, the one that comes from you, would be theirs today and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I want to say, as I dismiss you this morning, the children have been busy. putting together something special for all the moms here today, and there might even be some left over for us dads. So, but you're familiar with that look. That's an M&M. But on the back side, it says, not M&Ms, but moms are the sweetest. Happy Mother's Day. And is that cool? And then here's another thing. I don't know if you're going to, are there copies of this back there too? Okay, the children's ministry, they've been making these things called Mom's Moment. It's a Mother's Day game for me and my mom. And it's really special, and you don't want to leave without one. God bless. Enjoy your day. Happy Mother's Day.